certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda. Since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that the word Aradhita refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, "The sage Shukadev Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy, and thus the word Aradhita is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune." Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes the following detailed description of Srimati Radharani's footprints as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Sri Ujjvala Nilamani. At the base of the large toe of her left foot is the mark of a barley corn. Below that mark is a disc. Below the disc is an umbrella. And below the umbrella is a bracelet. A vertical line extends from the middle of her foot to the juncture of her large and second toes. At the base of the middle toe is a lotus. Below that is a flag with a banner, and below the flag is a creeper together with a flower. At the base of her small toe is an elephant goad, and upon her heel is a half moon. Thus there are 11 marks on her left foot. At the base of the large toe of her right foot is a conch shell, and below that a spear. At the base of the small toe of her right foot is a sacrificial altar. Below that an earring, and below the earring a spear. Along the base of the second, third, fourth, and small toes is the mark of a mountain, below which is a chariot, and on the heel is a fish. Thus altogether there are 19 distinguishing marks on the soles of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Om Jnantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Milidham Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juthapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahakana Lalita
Sri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna I am very grateful to be with all of you. It's the holy place of Bhaktivedanta Manor on this most holy occasion of Sri Radhastami. I feel very unqualified, but yet very blessed for this opportunity to speak some words in your service today. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Where Shukadev Goswami is revealing the supreme role of Srimati Radharani, love, in all spiritual and material worlds. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very significant, important verse. Vadanti tat tatva vidhas tatvam yajgyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. That learned transcendentalists who understand the one supreme absolute truth they have realized there are three aspects of that one truth Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Brahman is that supreme all-pervading existence that is within and outside, inside of everything that exists. It is the all-pervading, omniscient, omnipotent power. That is supreme. That one supreme Brahman also is Paramatma, within the heart of every living being, as the witness, the guide, the friend. And Bhagavan, that one supreme absolute truth, is forever, eternally, an all-loving personality, who is the source of all opulences. Bhagavan, according to Parasara Muni, means one who possesses all attractive features. Within this world, people are attracted to beauty, strength, knowledge, wealth, fame, renunciation. Bhagavan means that personality who possesses all of these qualities to its supreme unlimited degree, forever, and who is the source of all of these qualities. Krishna tells in Gita, whatever beautiful things we see in this creation is but an infinitesimal spark of his splendor. That famous story of Srila Prabhupada when he was walking along the Pacific Ocean in California. There was a magnificent sunset. The devotees remarked, isn't this beautiful, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada looked up at the sunset and said, if you think the art is beautiful, you should see the artist. We know how much these opulences can infatuate, completely mesmerize people of this world. But it is all just a perverted reflection of a reflection of the unlimited eternal attraction of Krishna. Madan Kamadev, who is sometimes called Cupid, is that power, that force that keeps everyone within this world distracted from their real self-interest. And even people who take to religion, even bhakti, how many distractions there are, both within us and outside of us. That is the power of Kamadev. Birth after birth after birth keeps people yearning and longing and reaching out for some sort of pleasure. But Krishna is Madan Mohan. Even Madan is bewildered by Krishna. And Sri Radha is Madan Mohan Mohini. Her love attracts even Krishna. So this one truth of Bhagavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cites from Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the source of all incarnations, all expansions. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam so many incredible incarnations. Narasingha Dev, Varaha Dev, Matsya, Sri Ramchandra, Kurma, Parasuram. They are all expansions of expansions of Krishna. And that one supreme absolute truth, Krishna, who is Parabrahman, the supreme Brahman, eternally manifests in two forms for the purpose, for the very purpose of existence. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rasman. That the Absolute Truth is one, but that Absolute Truth is eternally manifested as Radha Krishna. for the purpose of loving relationship. It is that love between Sri Radha and Krishna. Could they make that sound system lower? Because it's not simultaneous, it's coming different. When I hear myself speak, I get discouraged. As long as I don't have to hear my classes, I'm somewhat enthusiastic to speak. Ultimately, all spiritual and material worlds are emanating and facilitating Hare Krishna.
The volume, they can put it down and
otherwise it's controlled by...
No, that side, the TV, the monitor, they can put the volume down.
I'll tell them.
Yeah, please.
You can hear yourself speaking in the other room. Shukadev Goswami did not have to deal with these types of technical complications. Krishna tells in Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hridishani Vishto. I think the only way is we open these doors and turn that off down back there. Like the underground tube station. Hari Hari. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains Anandamayo Vyashat, that the nature of the Absolute Truth is to experience pleasure. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and expands himself forever as Sri Radha, his Ladini Shakti, as the supreme enjoyed. Kaviraj Goswami tells that Krishna is the Vishai Vigraha. That means he is the supreme object of love. Sri Radha is Ashray Vigraha. She is the supreme abode of love, the supreme lover. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. And similarly, the inherent potential, the essence of every jiva is praying, is to love Krishna. And all that, all love for Krishna within everyone is part and parcel of Sri Radha's love. Krishna tells that he is conquered by the love of his devotee. Why is Krishna conquered by the love of each and every devotee who loves him with pure love? Because that love is a particle of Sri Radha's love. She is the complete whole, the absolute abode of all love. Compassion. Compassion is the manifestation of that love within this creation. Sri Radha is Karunamayi. She is the complete fullness, the source, the reservoir of all compassion. Sri Radha is the absolute truth. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Hadini Shakti Rashman. Krishna expands himself in these two forms for the sake of pastimes of pure love. Just as Krishna is the source of all incarnations, the source of Narayan, source of Dwarkadish. Similarly, Sri Radha is the original source of all the queens of Dwarka, all the goddesses of fortune of Vaikuntha. She is the original spiritual energy that gives pleasure to Krishna. And the source of all shaktis, of all the divine energies of the Lord that manifest everything that exists in all spiritual and material worlds. And what is the nature of that love? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells how the love of the gopis is absolutely free of any tinge of selfishness, ignorance, or ego. Everything is exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. We read how the gopis would dress very nicely. But they only dressed to give pleasure to Krishna. Recently we were speaking about Andal, who was an expansion of Sri Radharani in the Sri Sampradaya. She's one of the great Awars. Her father, his name was Vishnu Chatta, he was a gardener, a simple gardener, and he was growing tulsi because his life, his soul, his everything was simply to make flowers for Krishna. Because what happened was when he was a little boy, he heard someone speaking Srimad Bhagavatam about the visit of Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, where Sudama, who was a very simple florist, offered a garland to Krishna. And Krishna was so happy, he blessed him with any benediction Sudama wanted. All Sudama wanted was pure love, pure service for the pleasure of the Lord eternally. And the Lord granted him that. And all he did is offer Krishna garland. So this devotee decided, I don't need any education, I don't need anything else, I will just make garlands for Krishna. And he grew his own flowers, and grew his own tulsi. And one day when he came out to his tulsi, there was a little girl that came out of the ground. Her name was Andala. And he would make a garland for the Lord every day. And after making this garland with the flowers that he grew with his own hands, he would put it down in like the pujari room, we may call it, until it was time to offer it. And well, then he would go out and do his duties in the garden. And his daughter, this little girl, every day she would come when her father was away and take that garland before it was offered to Krishna and put it around her own neck and look in a mirror and just spend about 1 hour every day just looking at herself in the mirror wearing Krishna's garland. And before her father would come back, she would put it down back in the plate and run away. And he didn't know. Then he would offer the garland to Krishna. But one day he came back early and saw her wearing it, looking in the mirror, and was quite disturbed. So he didn't offer that garland to Krishna. But that night, Krishna appeared to him in a dream. And said, why you did not offer me garland today? And he said, because my daughter wore the garland. It was desecrated. And Krishna said, it was not desecrated, it was consecrated. He said, she wears that garland, she puts it on only for my pleasure. She has no desire for anything selfish. She has no enjoying spirit herself. She just puts it on to look beautiful for me. And Krishna told him that until she wears it, I feel no devotion and no fragrance in any of these flowers. From this day on, I order you, never give me a single garland that is not first worn by your daughter Andala. So after that, he understood his daughter was very special, and he would make the garland and put it on his daughter, and she'd look in the mirror, and he'd take. So she was actually, according to the Sri Sampradaya, she was in the mood of the gopis. She wrote beautiful, beautiful prayers in separation from Krishna. Love and separation. So the origin of this love is the gopis of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada writes from Chaitanya Charitamrita the nature of the gopis' love. Everything is simply for the pleasure of Krishna. They have no arrogance, no ego, nothing material, nothing selfish. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him that you should meet Ramananda Rai. Because previously I spoke with him and I thought he was a sentimental person, but now that I have received your mercy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, and I have tasted the sweetness of Prema Bhakti, I understand there's no one who is relishing a deeper understanding than Ramananda Rai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the Godavari River and he was seeing the forest on the riverbanks to be Vrindavan, And he was seeing the Godavari to be the Yamuna. He crossed over to Govur and there sat down and waited. Ramananda Rai, who was a governor, being carried on a royal palanquin, came there to take his bath. And it is a long story, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai ultimately embraced. And the ecstasies of the love for each other, Srila Prabhupada tells us that Lord Chaitanya is Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupa. Krishna with the complexion and the love of Sri Radha. And Ramananda Rai is the very expansion of Sri Radha as her eternal associate, Vishakha, in the spiritual world. And it was their first meeting in this incarnation. And interestingly, before even revealing to the world the deepest, most esoteric truths, they exhibited the character which is required to even approach these truths. Ramananda Rai said to Lord Chaitanya, "Why? I am just a Shudra. I'm just a materialistic, lower person. Why are you touching me?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi. I'm touching you for my purification." Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa Goswami to reveal the highest intimate secrets of the spiritual world. But the character of Rupa Goswami must be carefully studied. When he first met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with Sanatana Goswami, they were so humble. They considered themselves the most fallen, the most unqualified, lower than even Jagai and Madhai. They were ashamed that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even went to touch them, what to speak of embrace them. So this character is very important. Otherwise, whatever we know, it's academic, it's theoretical. But these truths of prema, these truths of true bhakti, can only be understood by grace. Ultimately by Sri Radha's grace. She is the source of all grace. And these qualities, Trinadapi sunichena taror iba sehishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. It is these qualities that actually make us receptive to that grace. It is these qualities that actually attract grace. Ramananda Rai sat with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the banks of the Godavari River. Throughout the night, every night, for over a week. And the discussion between them is very deep, profound. In very brief summary, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, "Please tell me, from the scriptures, what is the essence of the perfection of life and how to achieve it?" Ramananda Rai said that pure devotional service can be achieved by performing one's prescribed duties, according to Varnashram. That's quite high. What is our qualification to even understand that? Lord Chaitanya said, this is external. Tell me something more. Yat koroshiyat asnasiyat jahoshitadasiyat. He said that when we, whatever we do, when it is an offering of love and devotion to Krishna, that is the highest perfection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that is external. Tell me something more. It's a pure devotional service where we abandon all varieties of religion only for the pleasure of Krishna. Sarva dharman puritya jamame kam sharanam virja. Lord Chaitanya said, there's something more. Tell me more. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatvaman shantimrichit. Devotional service where there is devotional service which is harmonized with transcendental speculative knowledge is the perfection. Lord Chaitanya said, that is external. Tell me something more. He said, pure devotional service is that which is untinged by any desires for liberation, for mystical yogic powers, for elevation to higher planets, or even mukti. Lord Chaitanya said, that is all right. But tell me what's more. And he explained, the essence of perfection is to love Krishna and serve Krishna as his eternal servant. But tell me something more. The essence of perfection is to love Krishna as his friend in fraternal love. And he quoted the great fortune of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. That is good, but tell me something more. Then he explained the essence of perfection to love Krishna with paternal affection like Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Lord Chaitanya wanted something higher. And then he explained the love of the gopis and how Krishna was so completely conquered by the selfless, pure love of the gopis that he himself expressed that even in an entire lifetime of Brahma, with all that he possesses, he could never repay the gopis for their love. He went into great detail about the nature of the gopis' love. There's that famous story when Krishna assumed a headache. And Uddhava went to the sages and the rishis and so many different transcendental personalities and said, if you give the dust from your feet to put on Krishna's head, that will relieve his headache. But no one would do that. To put your feet on Krishna's head is a great offense. They were fearing hell. But the gopis immediately collected all their dust and said, please bring it to Krishna immediately. I said, don't you know the consequence of doing this? They said, yes, of course. Going to hell. But for the gopis within the core of their hearts, they were willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity if it would give Krishna even one moment of relief. That's the nature of their love. After elaborating on the gopis' prem, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "That is very good. But if there is something more, please tell me more." Sri Ramananda Rai, he said, "Nobody could ever ask for something beyond this. But since you are asking, of all the gopis, Sri Radha's love is supreme." And he quoted this particular incident from the verse we are giving class today on. Each of gopis, they abandoned everything, being called by Krishna's flute for Krishna's pleasure. Some were taking care of their little children. Others were cooking. Others were serving. They left into the darkness of the forest on that moonlit night, being called upon by Krishna's flute. And while dancing with all gopis, Krishna was so overwhelmed with each of their love that he expanded himself in a very transcendental way, so that each gopi was thinking, "Krishna's only with me." Then suddenly, he disappeared. And all the gopis were mad in separation. They were searching for Krishna. They were asking the birds, the trees, the moon, the stars, "Where is the son of Nanda? Have you seen him?" And then they found Srimati Radharani's footprints with Krishna's. And at this point, Shukadev Goswami, in ecstatic emotion, spoke this verse: "Ani aradito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara yano vihaya Govinda prito yam anayadraha." That's Sri Radha. Her devotion, her love for Krishna is beyond all others. How she pleases Krishna is so much that Krishna has left everything and everyone only for her. And Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains so nicely here that although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness, that there's no envy. Srila Prabhupada, in one beautiful lecture on the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, he explains how the basic principle of material existence is envy. In forgetfulness of our constitutional relationship with Krishna, we are potentially envious of anyone or everyone. Krishna tells Arjuna, as Sukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit, that you can understand this message because you have no envy. Where there's true humility, there cannot be envy. Envy is a manifestation of a frustrated ahankar, or false ego. They are inseparable, the false ego and envy. And to the degree there's actual humility, to that degree there can be no envy. So even if the gopis are speaking as if jealous, as it is explained here, there's actually no envy there. It's their way of celebrating and glorifying the good fortune of that person who is receiving Krishna's grace. When we take ourself out of the center of our existence and put Krishna in the center, then there's a whole different perspective of reality. When it's about me, then envy, arrogance, depression, and all of these things naturally come into our lives. But when Krishna is in the center, then everything is about how is Krishna pleased. And if we see someone pleasing Krishna better than we are, we're happy. Because Krishna's happy. Srila Prabhupada explains the nature of transcendental competition. Where we try to do the best we can do in such a way that we inspire other people to do even better. And then we try to do even better. I remember once during the book distribution marathon, I was trying to express my understanding of this transcendental competition, and it confused everybody. Even I was confused, but because you know, let us try to distribute Prabhupada's books. Let this be our goal. That we give every bit of our energy and resources to distribute as many books as possible to try to be number one. But while we're acting in this way, our ultimate hope should be that we're last. Does that make sense? That means we're doing everything we can to be number one, but then if everybody else does more, then that's even better. Because ultimately, it's not about being number one, it's about pleasing Prabhupada. And it's pleasing Krishna. And the more of Srila Prabhupada's books that are going out, the more they're happy. So let everybody do as much as possible. There's no jealousy, there's no envy, we're all just trying to please Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. And there's nothing in all of creation that displeases Krishna more than envy. So if we're actually trying to make spiritual advancement, We shouldn't be a servant of that envy. We should see it for what it is. It's what's separating me, birth after birth after birth, from Krishna. We should celebrate. We should find the greatest joy in seeing other devotees being blessed, being empowered, giving pleasure to Krishna. And actually, if we appreciate another devotee's devotional service, and we actually enjoy seeing that they're better than me, we make tremendous spiritual advancement by doing that, because Krishna's pleased with us. We may be making more spiritual advancement appreciating somebody doing more than me than that person who's doing it. Does that make sense? Because Krishna's bhava-grahi janardana. He's not accepting the thing, he's accepting the consciousness in which it is offered. And here in the highest realm of spiritual ecstatic love, we find this truth. That Krishna, he broke the heart of every gopi by leaving them. Each one was thinking, he's mine. I am his and he is mine. And each one is thinking, of all the gopis here, he's only with me. They didn't understand that everyone was thinking that. That's Krishna. He's Rasaraj, Rasa Bihari. How he can reciprocate love is... Every single devotee could think, Krishna's mine. When Krishna would sit with the gopas on the bank of the Yamuna, they'd all be in circles around him. One little circle of 8, and then a circle of 16, 32, 64. There were thousands of gopas in circles around Krishna, as they were taking prasad together. And each of the gopas is thinking, Krishna's only looking at me. Of all these gopas, he's only looking at me. And it's not like he assumed four heads, because some were behind him and some were on all sides of him. And it's not that he was spinning around. How could Krishna do that? Krishna has achintya shakti. He has inconceivable potencies. Within this material existence, he's within the heart of a bacteria. Yes, he's in the heart of every living being. He's bigger than the biggest. He's smaller than the smallest. And there's no lack. He's fully conscious. In the spiritual world, everything Krishna does is to reciprocate love and give pleasure to his devotees. It was Pundarik Vidyanidhi when he was sitting in Navadvip in a very opulent bed, wearing very luxurious clothes and jewelry and looking at himself in the mirror as he was chewing spices with his hair nicely perfumed. Gadadhar Pandit was a very simple brahmachari. He was thinking, Mukunda, you brought me to see a great devotee. What? This is not my understanding of a great devotee. People were fanning him with chamaras, and he was looking in the mirror, smiling at himself. And Mukunda understood what was in Gadadhar's mind, and he chanted this beautiful sloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, who else could I possibly worship than Krishna? Even the sister of Bakasura, Putana, he gave her the ultimate liberation of being his own mother in the spiritual world eternally, even though she came with such cruelty to kill him. Who else could I worship but Krishna? The more we hear about Krishna, the more we understand Krishna, who else could we place our love in? When we love Krishna, it's like watering the root of the tree. automatically, spontaneously, naturally, our love extends to every living being, because Krishna is the cause of everything. Every living being is a part of Krishna. That's the perfection of that love that Krishna can facilitate to every one of his devotees. So the gopis, each one was tasting the sweetness of Krishna's love in such fullness. And then he left. And when they saw the footprints, they understood he left them all for one gopi. And they were celebrating the good fortune of this gopi. They were in transcendental ecstasy that she must be giving so much pleasure to Krishna. And ultimately, whether they're giving it or somebody else is giving it is not what's important. What's important is that Krishna is receiving it. That's bhakti. To celebrate the accomplishments, the devotional spirit, the blessings that are upon another devotee is actually the true sign of a Vaishnava. This is the repeated message of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In Sanatan Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni was traveling from place to place, saying, "You are the greatest devotee, Prahlad." And Prahlad said, no, I don't have any devotion. Look at Hanuman. I'm just sitting here meditating. He's doing seva. So every devotee he went to, they were all finding the greatest joy in tasting the sweetness that another devotee is better than me. And ultimately, we find here Srimati Radharani. She is the very root, the cause, the source, and the absolute fullness of all love for Krishna. In 1968, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture on this occasion of Radhastami in Montreal, Canada. And he sang that beautiful song that was earlier sung by Sri Rupa Goswami. And he told the story of Sri Radharani's birth, as it is explained in several of the Puranas, where he said Sri Radharani's father, Brishabhanu, was plowing a field, and from the earth a beautiful golden baby appeared. And Srila Prabhupada said that he brought her home to his wife, Kirtida, who was the queen. And there was a great celebration. In the Bhakti Ratnakar, Raghava Pandit brought Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur to the very place where Sri Radharani appeared. Mukya Ravali, also called Raval. And he explained in summary what a wonderful festival there was when Brishabhanu brought home this beautiful little golden baby girl who was the very essence of all beauty and goodness and love. Everyone was playing instruments, and the Brahmins were chanting mantras and people were throwing flowers and colors on each other and they were dancing and singing. It was a glorious day. But in Vrindavan, we learn these beautiful stories where although they were so blissful, at the same time, there was a deep concern because this little baby girl refused to open her eyes and wouldn't make a sound. Was she blind? Was she deaf? Was she dumb? She was just there. She was beautiful, emanating so much love. And during that time, Narada Muni, he had been to Krishna's Janmashtami in Gokul, Mahavan, and he understood that his pleasure potency would soon appear within this world. There's a beautiful explanation in Garga Samhita where Krishna tells Srimati Radharani that he's going to descend into the material world. Once in a day of Brahma, he comes in his original form. And she wants to come with him. But she said, but we will not be happy unless the river Yamuna and Govardhan Hill from Goloka also descend with us. Krishna said they have already descended. So Narada Muni was looking for Srimati Radharani. And he came to Ravel and came to the house of Brishabhanu and said, I believe a child was born to you. I want to see her all alone. So Narada Muni went into a room in seclusion with Srimati Radharani, and he understood she is the supreme goddess of fortune, the Hridini Shakti of the absolute truth. Others were thinking she's just a beautiful little baby. He was bowing down, offering prayers. And the little baby manifested her eternal form of Goloka as Kishori Sri Radharani. And Narada Muni had this beautiful vision of her, and she blessed him. And it was from this inspiration that ultimately he went to Narada Kund near Govardhan, and he compiled the Narada Bhakti Sutras. Soon after that, Yashoda and Nanda came to see the beautiful little child of Brishabhanu and Kirtida. And Sri Radharani was just laying in a little place. And when nobody else was looking, Krishna, little Gopal, this little child, he crawled, and when he was just in front of her, she opened her eyes. The first sound of her mouth was in glorification of Krishna. She refused to speak anything or see anything before her beloved. When she was a little girl with her friends, Durvasa Muni came across the Yamuna from Vrindavan, I mean from Mathura. And Durvasa Muni is quite a scary person for some. He's a sannyasi, a renunciate. He has like 60,000 disciples that usually travel around with him. He's a expansion of Shiva, born of Atri Muni and Anasuya, and he's easily angry. He's Ashutosh, like Shiva. If you please him, he'll give you so many benedictions. But if you displease him, he usually destroys you, as we saw with Ambarish Maharaj. So the little gopi friends of Sri Radha, when they saw Durvasa Muni, they ran away. But Sri Radha, she served him and she pleased him with so much affection. Durvasa Muni blessed her. He blessed her that whatever you cook will taste like nectar. And anyone who eats what you cook will never fall sick, but they will be very happy. So Radharani, she's so gracious that she's receiving very gratefully these benedictions from the sage, although she's the source of all benedictions. When Yashoda Mai heard these blessings, she arranged for little Radharani to cook for Krishna every day at Pavan Sarovar near at Nandagaon. She would set up her kitchens. And the Sakis, who are the Sakis? Lalita, Vishaka, Chitra, Ranga Devi, Sudevi, Tunga, Vidya, Champa, Glata. All these Sakis, that they are expansions of Sri Radha herself. Srimati Radharani, Ramananda Rai explains to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every aspect of Radharani is a manifestation of her supreme love. Every limb of her body is simply an expression of love for Krishna. Every stitch of her clothes are a manifestation of her love for Krishna. It's not material, it's all coming from her heart ultimately. Every ornament on her body, every gesture of her body, the entire spiritual world of Vrindavan, and this is a manifestation of Sri Radha's love for Krishna. She expands herself as Chandravali, as her own competitor, just to increase Krishna's happiness. So the Astasakis and so many others are all helping Sri Radha to cook for Krishna every day at Pavan Sarovar. And Yashoda Mai is there, and she's with her motherly affection, she's helping in every way. When near Govardhan, there is Dana Nivartan Kund. That is a place where Krishna literally is begging for the love of Sri Radha and the gopis. their yogurt, their ghee, their butter, whatever they're holding, it's actually the offerings of their love. So he performs that Dan Bihari Leela, where he taxes them. And at Dana Nivartan Kund, Raghunath Das Goswami explains, it's a very wonderful long story, but ultimately Krishna puts his head at the feet of Sri Radha and accepts her as Vrindavaneshwari, the ultimate queen of Vrindavan. Indra, after being defeated by Krishna, who lifted the Govardhan hill for 7 days and seven nights with the little finger of his left hand, proclaimed Krishna to be the supreme lord of all lords. And in that same little area at Govardhan, Krishna exclaimed to the whole world for all time that he is the property of Srimati Radharani. She is the queen of Vrindavan, and he is forever conquered by her love. Lord Shiva, he himself wanted to experience the love of the gopis. He is Mahadev. He wanted to enter into the Raslila. But he was told that you have to have the female form of a gopi in order to do so. And they told him, go to Mansarovar. Mansarovar is a lake. In Vrindavan, it's also called Radharani. Because when she was in an angry mood, in separation, when Krishna had left her at the Raslila, she went across the Yamuna and she filled that kund with the tears of her love and separation. And the great Shiva, when he bathed in those tears of Srimati Radharani's love, he came out from that kund in the form of a gopi and became Gopeshwar Mahadev, the guardian of the Rasa Leela. So this most exalted position of Sri Radha is especially remembered and glorified on this day of Radhastami. Srila Prabhupada cites from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how Krishna saw his form in a jeweled pillar. And he was so intoxicated and attracted by seeing his own reflection he was thinking how overwhelmingly beautiful he was. But nobody could actually taste the sweetness of his beauty as much as Srimati Radharani. And he was thinking, when Sri Radharani sees a dark cloud, she falls unconscious remembering me. When she sees a tamal tree, which resembles the color of Krishna's complexion, she runs and embraces the tamal tree, thinking it's him. When a breeze touches me and then comes and touches her, she jumps into the sky, trying to merge into that breeze. what is this love of Sri Radha? Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna is Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjana Babashani Chabutani Mamtu Vedana Kashchana. He knows everything, past, present, future. He knows every living being. Srila Prabhupada explains, there's one thing he does not know. What is the nature of Radha's love? What is it she experiences in her love for him? What is the taste of sweetness that she realizes when she experiences his love? Radha Bhavaduti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupa. In order to understand this highest realm of Mahabhav, Krishna himself assumes the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was there in Kovur that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that secret to Ramananda Rai. He said, Ramananda Rai could actually see by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy his true identity. He was Krishna who was tasting the sweetness of Radha's love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world not only to taste the sweetness of Radha's love, but with the supreme compassion of Sri Radha is distributing that love to everyone and to anyone who's willing to accept it. In this age of Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam tells that the greatest sages, they worship Kali Yuga as the best time. And this is already after so many explanations of how horrible Kali Yuga is. But in this age of Kali, Krishna comes in the mood of Sri Radha to manifest the ultimate compassion, patita pavana hetu, tava avatar. In such a simple way, through this Harinam Sankirtan movement. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. This chanting of the holy names, Srimati Radharani in the form of Mahaprabhu brought this Harinam Kirtan from Goloka Vrindavan. This chanting of Kirtan is an eternal pastime in the spiritual world. And along with his most intimate loving associates from the spiritual world, Swarup Damodar Goswami, who is Lalita, Ramananda Rai, Vishaka, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Brisha Panu, the father of Sri Radha, Srivas Thakur is Narada Muni, all of these great devotees, Paramananda Puri is Uddhava, they are all together performing the Leela of the spiritual world through Nam Sankirtan and giving everyone the opportunity to enter into this Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this Sankirtan, is opening the doors to Goloka Vrindavan, to all of us. Karunamayi. Srimati Radharani is full embodiment of all compassion. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she is extending it to even the most fallen. And that is why Srila Prabhupada, when he was on Jaladuta, he was especially invoking the blessings of Srimati Radharani in his prayers. In his prayers to Lord Krishna, it is that mercy that is our only qualification. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Dveshe Namo. Rupa Goswami understood the essence of the truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Said of the most munificent, the most merciful of all incarnations. Because you are giving this love of Vrindavan. You are giving the grace of Sri Radha to the whole world. Not discriminating one's qualifications or disqualifications on the material platform. Dinahina yata chilo harinam udharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Even jagai and madhai, when they humble themselves to receive the grace of the Lord and the holy name of the Lord, they were given the ultimate perfection. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada quotes him, that the primary quality that is required to receive this mercy is simplicity. Simplicity means without duplicity. Simplicity means without ulterior motives. This is sometimes when we read from Srila Prabhupada's books or from the holy scriptures, particular lines that we read have an impact that actually transform our life. Because it just makes so much sense. There's one particular line that Srila Prabhupada speaks. He quotes Lord Chaitanya that forever has that effect in my heart. He explains how pure devotional service is very rare. And why is it so rare? Because when Krishna gives pure devotional service, ultimately it is Sri Radha that gives pure devotional service. Krishna's Ladini Shakti. When the Lord gives pure devotional service, he is subordinate, he is conquered by that love. So he doesn't give it easy. He gives himself when he gives pure devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada writes, this is in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, that Krishna will easily give pure ecstatic love of God. to one who is sincere, who is serious, and who has no ulterior motives. This is simplicity. I remember one of our dear God sisters, her name was Ladini. Ladini Devi. She had such spontaneous devotion. It was quite incredible. She was Jagannath's pujari. Did you ever hear these stories? She was Jagannath's pujari, and she used to write me letters all the time. And she would tell me her dilemmas. You know, most people, they write letters about all these, you know, dilemmas between husband and wife, or because, you know, their mind or their senses. But her dilemmas were very different. Because she, for years and years, she was a pujari for Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra. And she used to sleep. Her pillow was the wooden Mahaprasad shoe of Balaram. Anyways, she was getting these dreams where Nityananda Prabhu was telling her she should leave her pujari service and go out and preach. And then Balaram would appear in a dream and say, "No, no, you cannot do that. You are taking care of me here. You must stay here and take care of me." And then the dream would change, and Nityananda would say, "What are you sitting? Mahaprabhu is come to take the holy name all over the world. You're sitting in the temple worshiping the deity. I want you to go out and preach." And Balaram would say, "No, this would be a great aparad to leave me." So she would ask me what to do. I usually didn't answer her letters. But when I would see her, she would confront me. Anyways, Balaram appears as Nityananda in the age of Kali, so I think, you know. But I remember one time in her whole life she came to Vrindavan. She practically had the whole Krishna book memorized. She read it so many thousands of times. And she just loved it so much. And Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishna book. She just loved to hear and loved to read. And when she came to Vrindavan, I had the fortune of taking her around. She was constantly weeping and crying and weeping and crying. And she kept saying the same thing over and over again. She's saying, "Everything here is so simple." She would meet these really nice Brijavasis. She said, "They are so simple." And she'd go to holy places and she'd say, "It is so simple." And she quoted Uddhava. When he came to Vrindavan, he saw that there's no sophistication. Everyone is just so simple. Srimati Radharani, she's the supreme goddess of fortune. In Beovan, Lakshmi Devi, she actually left Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha because she wanted to experience what the gopis were experiencing with Krishna. But she wasn't allowed to cross the Yamuna because she identified herself as the goddess of fortune. And in order to actually enter into the Vrindavan Leela, one has to have a completely simple heart. And Srila Prabhupada gives us entrance into that simplicity by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Sri Radha's mercy. It is accessible and available to all of us. If we simply put as the ultimate aspiration of our life to be a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees, with no ulterior motives. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that Sri Radha alone experiences the fullness of Krishna's love. But she shares that love with everyone who takes shelter of her. It's like the example Prabhupada gives is a creeper around a tree. Sri Radharani is that creeper that's embracing Krishna and experiencing the fullness of Krishna's love and experience the highest ecstasy in doing so. But then the little flowers that are growing on that creeper, the manjaris, and actually ultimately all the devotees, directly or indirectly, and all that love of her heart, of the creeper, is going into each and every flower. This is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's come to taste the sweetness of Radha's love, and for all those who are willing to open their hearts to be the servant of the servant of the servant of his devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is willing to share the sweetness of that love with all of us. That is Sankirtan. That is the gift Srila Prabhupada has given us. And on this most holy day of Radhastami, it is a day we can offer our gratitude for this gift, offer our prayers, nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavatat bhaktir hoi teki dvai. This prayer is composed by Srimati Radharani in the form of Lord Gauranga, teaching us what we should pray. I do not want wealth. I do not want the pleasures of the opposite sex. I do not want fame, power, scholarship, mystic cities. I don't even want liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you, my Lord, to please you, my Lord, unconditionally. Let us not allow our egos or any of the distractions of this world to set our mind apart from this ultimate aspiration. Ashlesyava padritam panashtum. My Lord, if you like, you can embrace me. If you like, you could trample on me. If you like, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You are free to deal with me in any way you please, because I am your servant unconditionally. This is a very high thing. But let us aspire for this and this alone. This is the matchless gift that Srila Prabhupada gave to us. Thank you very much.